We repent for not stepping out in faith and taking back this area of influence that belongs to God and His people for furthering His kingdom. Forgive us, God. We have no idea just how big You are. I pray, Father, as we stand here today, we renew our covenant with You. We invite You back into the mountain of arts and entertainment, and we ask You, God, to take those centers of power and influence from the unrighteous and give it to those who are righteous in Christ's righteousness. I pray that Hollywood would be known around the world not as the exporter of pornography, but the place where Jesus Christ's name is honored and glorified and lifted high. That we would take dominion, that we would occupy until You come.
Change has come to America.
The truth out there.
Some alien race to come down and threaten us.
The military-industrial complex.
A highly funded yet unofficial government agency.
I've now been in 57 states.
From the heartland of America, this is PID Radio. I'm Derek Gilbert.
And I'm Sharon Gilbert, everybody, and welcome to our bunker. It's been a while.
It has.
Since we've talked with you, and we've got lots and lots to discuss.
Yes, today, May 2nd of 2010, and we'll talk about May Day. We'll talk about the influence of the new apostolic reformation on Christianity in America today and on the political scene. And recap, I guess, of the last day's conference.
Exactly. I want to talk to you about that because, you know, it was an extremely interesting event.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry I didn't get to go, but sounds to me like you came back all jazzed up.
It was a remarkable gathering of people. The closest experience I've had in my life to this, and not on a spiritual level, but just on an emotional level, was the years that I spent singing with the barbershop chorus and quartets out of St. Charles, Missouri. And when we would go to the competitions, and I did this for 20 years, I, you know, competed with the groups from Peoria, Illinois, Arlington Heights, Illinois, and, you know, St. Charles for many years. We competed at the international competition, and the international contest was the closest to what I felt in Nashville, where you get a whole bunch of people together who have an interest that falls outside the mainstream. I mean, let's face it, you don't see people singing four-part a cappella harmony on the street corner or in the lunchroom at the office or, you know, at break time when they're, you know, out in the smoking shack outside. So when you get a bunch of people together who share that interest and you realize that everybody's there because they share an interest in the same thing, it's like, wow! you know, because all the barriers are down. All the walls are down. You're walking down the hallway and somebody says, what part do you sing? Tenor. Great. We need a tenor over here for Sweet Roses of Morn. Come on. And it was sort of like that in Nashville, but again, on a spiritual level, because you know that all the people who were there, came from 17 states and, British Columbia, a province in Canada to, be fed really to hear the kind of scriptural teaching that they're not getting in their churches.
And it was sound scriptural teaching. Unlike what is being spoon-fed.
Right.
You know, the pablum that is being spoon-fed, the crack drug
right.
that is being spoon-fed to so many now.
That is absolutely true. There was one fellow, Sam from North Carolina, who at
not
the question,
Sam T. Doxson.
Not Sam T. Doxson. Who at the question and answer session that night put it this way. He said, we're the Christians in the catacombs. Now, not that we're being oppressed and persecuted the way that the first century church was, but in a sense, we're having to go to the catacombs, which was appropriate because the meeting place in Nashville was a meeting hall on a lower floor below a Mexican restaurant. It was... In the same sense, we're having to go to these underground sort of gatherings in order to really get some spiritual meat.
And they're virtual gatherings in some cases.
Right,
But the one in Nashville got to be, you know, you were there in person, and so
right.
you got to meet many of the people who are listening to us right now.
And it was really an honor to be there. I was so blessed to have the opportunity to hear all of the speakers and meet face-to-face the people that we've been talking to for a long time. Now, I met Russ Dizdar in St. Louis a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. He was there for a conference, and I drove over from Columbia to have dinner with him. But to the, you know, to this point, even though we've spoken and exchanged emails many times with L.A. Marzulli and Dr. Future and Tom Bionic and
Guy
Malone and Joe Jordan, and we, you know, interviewed them, and we've never met them face to face. And so now, you know, getting a chance to meet with them, to sit and literally break bread with them. I mean, we, you know, went to Olive Garden one night. We broke breadsticks. And it was kind of, yeah. And it was really an awesome experience. There was a fellow there, and I have to give his name, Steve Dieterman, who helped set up the praise band. He got in touch with Tom Dunn, the coordinator, and said, look, if you'd like to do this, you know, my wife and I listen to a lot of these podcasts. We live in the area. Can we help with some praise and worship music? And so he coordinated the sound systems and was essentially the roadie for the conference. And I said, you know, Steve, you're putting in a lot of time and effort here, because it's not like they live right in Nashville. They live some distance outside Nashville. He said, well, this is great. This is like being backstage at the Grammys for us. So it was really an awesome get together. And I just got that sense from everybody who was there that it was just a wonderful blessing for everyone to be there. There was a fellow there who I didn't make time to talk with personally, and I suspect he listens because he was wearing a PID radio t-shirt. His name was Dion, D-I-O-N. And Dion, I'm sorry I didn't thank you personally, because aside from you and me and the hat dude in Houston, I think we're the only three guys on the planet who wear PID gear.
Here's our evil plan. We'll pull down the Cafe Press site.
Yes.
And make those PID garments
collectibles.
Exactly.
So don't spill
jam on your shirt.
That's
or your
right.
Hat.
Yeah. I got the white polo shirt too, so I was very careful when we went out for Mexican that night, or for the Italian food. You know, lots of red sauces. So, you know, Lori James was there with some friends. Of course, she's the one who, if you've been to the Facebook site and seen the picture that we posted of the oil painting that she did of Sam the Dachshund,
mm-hmm.
wearing a little fedora and just looking up in alarm as he's reading Winds of Evil by Sharon K. Gilbert. Obviously, he's come to a really scary part of the book. It's such a wonderful painting, and it's hanging in a place of honor.
It is the best painting. So, you know, in a way, Sam T. Dachshund was there.
Yes.
I really hated that I couldn't go, but there was just no way that was going to work out. And we came to the conclusion that that was simply the Lord's timing. With all of those things that have happened over the last few weekends, it's been a while since we've had done a show. We mm-hmm. didn't do one last weekend because you got home and you immediately went to sleep.
Yeah. Was zonked. Had just enough energy to mix together the brief mini interviews that I did with the speakers at the conference. And that was really an education to me, but it also helped me to sort of integrate everything that they talked about, or most of everything that they talked about. I mean, you know, I was talking about the conference for three straight days after coming home, and
you're still talking about it, and I can see why. I mean, imagine how exciting that was to be with brothers and sisters that are like-minded, mm-hmm. people that are hungry. You and I are hungry.
Yeah.
I mean, we're in many ways we're sort of the servants. We're the waiters and waitresses at the big banquet, but the actual food is coming from the Lord God Almighty. He's asking us to serve it up. And you and I are just as hungry as anybody else at that
right.
banquet. Imagine what it's going to be like when we actually have the wedding supper of the Lamb. And I mean, we feast upon the word of God coming straight from his lips.
Yeah, that's going to be an awesome and humbling experience as we begin to realize how wrong we've gotten so many things.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we're going to talk about how wrong things are.
Yeah.
Some of the many, many doctrines that are out there right now, they are ate up.
It is.
Ate up.
Astonishing. And one thought I want to leave, and I suspect we'll circle back around and back to the conference before the end of this show. But the thing that really struck me on Saturday night as we wrapped up the conference was that after 16 hours of hearing L.A. Marzulli talking about the prophetic signs pointing to the battle in the Valley of Megiddo happening sooner rather than later. Russ Dizdar talking about the satanic, demonically infused Manchurian candidates that are waiting out there to activate in what he calls a Black Awakening. Dr. Future's talk on the role of pharmakia, drugs, in opening portals to the supernatural realm. Mm-hmm. Guy Malone and Joe Jordan talking about the demonic nature of the UFO phenomenon and the abduction phenomenon and sleep paralysis as an adjunct to that, the discussion from Tom Bionic and Chris White with the 2012 deception, how people are being frightened into looking for a false cataclysm that will welcome in perhaps the Antichrist. After 16 hours of that, people left the conference feeling hopeful and encouraged and joyful. And in no small part because Joe Jordan wrapped up the conference after the question and answer session by baptizing three people in the hotel pool.
Isn't that just including the coolest?
A brand new believer who accepted Jesus Christ as Lord at the conference that Saturday afternoon. And, you know, it dawned on me a couple of days later that if that, well, I guess that night, because I made reference to it in last week's View from the Bunker, but if that one person out of the 100-plus people who were there was the only mm-hmm. victory achieved that weekend, then all the angels in heaven rejoiced. And I think that spirit, that sense, went with us, because I didn't sense anybody leaving that conference, you know, looking over their shoulders or watching the skies for black helicopters or unidentified flying objects. Everybody left there feeling encouraged and refreshed and knowing that he that is in us, I mean, not our own power, but he that is in us, is greater than he that's in the world. And that was the amazing thing. And that is why when you really experience something like that, you realize that God's word has, you know, demonstrates his power. I mean, just shows to us through, you know, the historical events recorded in the Bible and the guidance that it gives us for living today, his power and his authority over what happens in this realm. I mean, yes, there are dark demonic powers and principalities that are exercising some control over this world and this life now, mm-hmm. but it's a temporary authority. Why there are people who want to take that power onto themselves and try to take control of the planet now, when we should know from God's word that we're not to try to do battle directly.
They're being deceived. That's why.
They are being deceived. And we talked about this for a while.
They're either being deceived or they themselves are deceiving.
Yeah.
So either way, it's bad.
Yeah. We had talked a couple of weeks ago about a couple of events that demonstrate the increasing power and reach of a heresy called Dominionism in American Christianity. And I was able to bring this up down in Nashville. There was an event April 15th and 16th at Liberty University called The Awakening. And then yesterday, maybe you saw this, it was on God TV. It was also webcast at the American Family Association's website and webcast at GodTV.com. That May Day event, live from the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, where the Dominion's agenda was on public, very public display. Now, Dominionism teaches that we need to reclaim seven mountains of influence.
I'm sorry. In the background, Sam is snorting. I just wonder if people can hear it.
Yeah. I suspect not. These microphones are pretty directional, but believe me, we can hear it pretty plainly. It's like he's snorting in disgust at all of this stuff, and rightly so. The seven mountains of culture, which are nowhere mentioned in the Bible, which is the first and foremost thing to remember.
Right.
The seven mountains of culture, seven mountains of influence, these are not mentioned anywhere in Scripture as something that we human beings need to reclaim or attack in any way, shape, or form. Our great commission is to go forth and make disciples of all nations. Preach the gospel, make disciples, baptize them in the name of Jesus Christ, and that's it. But this teaching, this Dominionist heresy, teaches that we need to reclaim the mountains of government, religion, family, media, education, business, and arts and entertainment. And the actions of this group are geared toward reclaiming those seven mountains. And yesterday was very much aimed at the mountain of government.
What student of Scripture would be crazy enough to put together mm-hmm. a program called the Seven Mountains. When
I'll tell you exactly.
Prophecy, it is so clear that the Whore of Babylon is sitting on seven hills.
Yes. Yes, exactly. You have hit it on the head.
Well, why on earth would they want to be...
Got it in one.
Well, why instantly tie yourself to that?
I don't know.
Don't they realize that?
But the teachers of this heresy admit that this didn't come from Scripture. This came from a revelation, word in air quotes, given to Lauren Cunningham, founder of Youth with a Mission, and Bill Bright, founder of Campus Crusade for Christ.
You know, that just makes me so sad every time we find Bill Bright's name associated with it.
Sure.
Because, you know, I back in the 80s, Youth for Christ, Campus Crusade for Christ, mm-hmm. those were programs that I really respected.
A lot of people did. A lot of Christians did and do to this day. Youth with a Mission, by the way, not to rabbit trail too far, but remember, Youth with a Mission is the organization that owns the C Street House in Washington,
yes.
D.C., which came into the news last year, not just through Governor Mark Sanford's peccadillo, where he said he was going to C Street for counseling, but also because that's where Senator John Ensign of Nevada was living when it came out that he was having an affair mm-hmm. with the wife of a staff member. It's also where Representative Bart Stupak of Michigan.
Yes. Thank you for bringing that up. I was just
yes.
about to go there.
It's owned by Youth with a Mission, C Street is, but it's run by The Family, which is the group about which I interviewed Constance Cumby and Jeff Charlotte mm-hmm. several months ago. So you see the connection there with this secretive family group, which we should point out is heavily funded by Paul N. Temple, who's the co-founder of the New Age Institute of Noetic Sciences.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway,
which takes us over to Dan Brown.
Dan Brown and his love song to the Freemasons, the Lost Symbol.
And to the Noetic Sciences.
Right. Noetic Sciences actually was featured prominently, probably more prominently in the mm-hmm. book than the Freemasons. But I digress.
We both do.
Yeah. So the Seven Mountains of Culture. Now, the May Day event was divided into 7 hours of prayer, of prayers for repentance, prayers of, you know, asking God for forgiveness. Each of those 7 hours devoted to one of those seven mountains. I mean, you go to the website. Now, this is organized by a group called Faith to Action, which is headed up by a lady named Janet Porter. She hosts a radio show. She's a columnist for WorldNet Daily. And she pulled all of this together. Each of the 7 hours devoted to a specific mountain of influence that we need to reclaim. And then representatives for each of the 50 states in the union got up and prayed for their specific states. Why did she do this? Well, this gets back to a teaching that is central to the teachings of Dominionism called identificational repentance. This is a concept that was unknown to the apostles in the first century. Clearly, they weren't as studied about Christian doctrine as we are
yeah.
here 20 centuries later. I mean, they only learned from Jesus Christ.
Oh, exactly.
What do they know? We've got degrees. So identificational repentance teaches that there are literal demonic strongholds over specific areas of specific geographic areas.
I think there probably is something.
And now there
to
is
that.
Probably something to
so,
that.
There's
now,
a little bit of
more,
truth there.
There's a little bit of truth there, right? I mean, we read in the book of Daniel that Gabriel says to Daniel, "Look, I was delayed a couple of weeks by the prince of Persia," and it's clear from the context that he's talking about a supernatural prince of Persia, not a literal physical prince of Persia mm-hmm. who was wrestling with the angel. And then he makes reference to a prince of Greece who's going to come. The key there, though, is that Daniel wasn't asked to go out and prayer map Persia or fast or pray or intercede on behalf of that. I mean, that was strictly a war in the heavenlies. Now, that doesn't mean we can't pray for God to intervene and address these and deal with these demonic entities. I don't see anything in Scripture about that. I mean, Ephesians 6:12 seems pretty clear that we're wrestling with supernatural
entities.
I just
want to stop you because I'm guessing that there are some people listening that have the same little question marks over their heads
right.
that appeared over mine, because Russ Dizdar uses prayer mapping, and he is fighting supernatural entities.
Right.
These people seem to be asking for repentance for humans.
Yes. And there's the key difference. And this is where the rubber meets the road. Because some people have emailed us over the past couple of years to ask about Russ Dizdar and his prayer mapping and the difference between that and this Dominionist agenda. The Dominionist agenda, this identificational repentance, says that we Christians can specifically identify the sins and the guilt that have opened the door for a demon to gain a foothold, and then that we Christians can then repent for that sin.
Let me stop you right there. Oh, I think that's already been done.
Yes.
Why, that was done on Calvary.
That is point number one. This teaching denies the efficacy of the redeeming sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Secondly, we don't see anywhere in Scripture that says that we can repent for the sins of people who aren't asking for it, who aren't repentant, who don't believe that they're sinning, and who, frankly, don't even believe, period, that God exists.
Exactly.
We cannot, as Christians, corporately repent for the sin of abortion.
That negates free will.
Right, exactly. This is not a magical working, and that's what this boils it down to. It's a formula. In other words, if we say the right words in the right way, i.e. perform a magical ritual, we can force God to do something that we want him to do. That's not the way it works. There's nothing in Scripture that says we can, as Christians, get together and pray for God to offer repentance to our nation for the sin of abortion, when there are people out here who don't believe abortion is a sin and therefore don't believe that there's anything for them to repent of.
Mm-hmm.
Further, as this day went along, we listened into about half of it. We heard volunteers from the various states repenting for things like taking the land from the Native Americans, which is, I would say, a sin. We basically came in and broke treaties, promises, committed genocide in some cases against them.
Mm-hmm.
But I would ask this. For example, my mother's home state of North Dakota, the representative from North Dakota repented of taking the land from the First Nations. Is there any point in repenting of that sin if we're not going to give the land back?
Exactly. Because that was done in the Old Testament. Supposedly repentance was done. Okay, we're really sorry. We're worshiping other idols. Please forgive us, Lord. Make it rain again.
Yeah.
But we're not going to tear down the idols.
High places.
We're not going to tear those down. We're not going to cut down the Asherim. We're just going to keep doing it. But please forgive us. We're really sorry you caught us in the act.
Yeah. it's exactly. We're sorry we got caught.
Yeah.
Well, now again, there's no question that a long, long list of injustices has been committed upon the Native Americans. But if we start down that road, where do we stop? For example, I am of Welsh and of English descent among my many various ethnic backgrounds, you know, German, Swedish, and so forth. The Angles and Saxons basically took the British Isles away from Britain, okay? The Welsh are a Britonic people. So do I have a right to sue myself for reparations for kicking us out of most of Britain? Where does that end? Do the Celts have a right to demand reparations from the Italians for kicking them out of most of Europe? No, come on. At some point we have to say, look, we're sorry for what happened, but we cannot repent today for things that were done 200 years ago by our great-great-grandfathers.
Exactly. Again, that negates free will.
And
of us is responsible for repenting of our own sins. They've been paid for already.
Right, right.
Through the blood of Jesus Christ.
And the point, and again, the thing to remember about this is not the point that, is not that we as Christians are saying, hey, we're sorry that this happened. The point of this event yesterday, May Day 2010, was to find a way to pray in such a way as to unlock the heavenly gates and unleash God's blessing. In other words, to try to perform a magical ritual.
They weren't using those words,
no,
but
of course not.
It certainly seemed like that's what they were doing, particularly since they chose a site which is essentially a copy of the Temple of Zeus.
Yeah, and situated right across the opposite side of the National Mall from the world's largest
wiener dog.
the Washington Monument, which is the world's largest obelisk, which of course represents the penis of Osiris.
So. Uh-huh.
while we were at this repenting, and by the way, the
and
representative,
choosing, as you say, May Day to do it.
May Day to do it, which is Beltane, a Wiccan
yes,
holiday.
Exactly.
Why or Holy Day, I should say, for Wiccans, a Sabbat. Why do that on May 1st? Well, obviously the May Day, you know, cry for help, you know, the, okay, nice little pun tie in there. But why not do it at a church? Why not do it at,
yes,
just, you know, at a conference hall someplace? Why do it on the steps of a replica pagan temple in front of a giant pagan mm-hmm. monument?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this was something that really, I laughed out loud when I heard this. The representative for the state of North Carolina repented for the sin of exporting tobacco. Well, I'm sorry, in the early colonies, we paid our taxes by paying in hogsheads of tobacco. My ancestors farmed and paid their taxes, not just to the government, but also to the local Anglican church,
mm-hmm.
in tobacco. That's just what was done. But if we're going to repent for that, why didn't repent for having the world's largest Osiris wiener in our nation's capital? Why not repent for having this painting depicting the transformation of mm-hmm. George Washington into a pagan god inside the dome of our Capitol building?
Exactly. And a statue of him in the Smithsonian.
Looking like Zeus.
Zeus.
A statue of a pagan goddess on top of the roof, on the very mm-hmm. cap of the dome on the U.S. Capitol.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Statue
New
of
York
Liberty.
Yeah.
Yes. At the Last Days conference, it was pointed out that the name of the statue, other than Statue of Liberty, is Diana Luciferensis or something like that. Diana the Lightbearer or Lightbringer.
Mm-hmm.
If we're going to repent for those things, why don't we repent for these pagan things? Why didn't we repent for MK Ultra? Why didn't we repent for occupying Iraq and Afghanistan? Why don't we repent for transforming the office of the president into an office that has the power to incarcerate or assassinate American citizens without trial, without judicial oversight of any kind?
Exactly, because those are things that are going on now.
Yes.
It's easy, quote unquote, easy to repent, supposedly repent, of something that is in the past.
Mm-hmm.
The people are dead. You can do, but you'll notice when they repented of it, okay, we repent of taking the lands away from the Indians. Did you give them back?
No.
Because repentance means not only asking forgiveness for your sins, you walk away from them, and sometimes you have to make restitution.
Right. Change the way you think and act. We're sorry we took away your lands. If we're going to really, truly repent, really, truly, let's give it back. Again, the point was not true repentance. The point of May Day 2010 was to, according to this identificational repentance doctrine or heresy, was to identify specific sins that have opened footholds for demons, repent of them so that God will then strike down these strongholds and loose his blessings upon his Joel's army.
Mm-hmm. Now, well, I'm glad you brought that up.
And the
because
reason, well, I want to finish one quick thought here. And the reason you don't want to repent against things like making the president a near king with these dictatorial powers.
What do you mean near?
Well, I mean, he still does have to go through an election process. But, you know, the old Anglo-Saxon kings had to be approved by, you know, what do they call it? The Witan? Anyway, whatever. The point is that this movement, this dominionist movement within American Christianity today wants to get its hands on those powers because mm-hmm. the whole point is to extend our political dominion, our dominion over the mountain of government, which then allows us to exercise dominion over the mountains of media and arts and education and business to the rest of the planet.
Here's what's so funny. Supposedly, the ultimate goal of dominionism is to create the kingdom of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
On earth so that he can return.
Right.
Instead, what they're doing is creating the kingdom of the Antichrist.
Right.
So that he can appear.
For there will arise among you many who will go out in my name, saying, I am the Christ. And that's what's going to happen. A charismatic leader who professes to believe the same things or want the same things as these so-called Christians, these dominionists, will deceive even the elect, if it were possible, into following him, saying, hey, look, we need to spread democracy.
Mm-hmm.
We need to spread freedom across the world. We need to extend the rule of law to the entire planet. We need to bring these rogue nations under control. And according to Rick Joyner, who is one of the leading lights of this Joel's Army movement, At first, it will look like totalitarianism while we exercise necessary control until people learn how to live with true freedom. And
we just watched. This is going to sound like a left turn, but it really isn't. You and I just watched an episode.
Doctor Who?
One we weren't supposed to see yet, but we did see it. Yes, it's an episode of Doctor Who. And in it, if you are only watching the new Doctor Who on BBC America, you'll see this show this coming Saturday.
Right.
What day of the – that would be the 8th,
mm-hmm.
May the 8th. What is it called? The Time of Angels, the
yes.
first one?
Yes,
yes. You'll find that one of the main characters is – the head of a battalion of clerics.
Right.
In other words, the church has found something new to do. They're now the military.
Right, yeah. Bishop Octavian, mm-hmm. Father Octavian, Bishop Second Class, 20 clerics under my command. So probably a company.
Yes.
But, that was the way he was presented. And these guys were just like a SWAT team. They were like an A-team.
This is the ultimate special forces. End of this sort of thinking.
Right. It is dominionism taken to its logical mm-hmm. extreme. And that is what's going to happen. And what really is disturbing is seeing how this new apostolic reformation, remember that phrase, the NAR, is mainstreaming itself through its association with respected evangelicals like Dr. Dobson, who was not at May Day 2010 as far as I could tell, but he did record a public service announcement encouraging people, inviting people to attend. But the ministry left behind by D. James Kennedy, Reclaiming America, it was actively supporting this. Mm-hmm. There were many other groups like the American Family Association, headed up by Tim and Donald Wildman, was there. They simulcast the event on their website.
That's another one that bothers me. Don Wildman on the radio. And again, another person that I really respected. And those of us who have listened to these mm-hmm. ministries or watched these ministries for years, automatically think, oh, well, he believes in this.
Right.
Therefore, it's okay.
They're giving it sanction. Yes. Wendy Wright, Concerned Women for America, the head of the National Religious Broadcasters, Tony Perkins of the Family Research Council. Of course, the former president, Gary Bauer, ran for president a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, these are leaders among the American mainstream American evangelical community. And this new apostolic reformation is being mainstreamed through it. And this dominionist teaching, which is coming from the new apostolic reformation, is being mainstreamed. These seven mountains of culture, this idea that we can corporately repent for the entire nation of sins for which many people in this nation do not repent, is not scriptural. It is not biblical. It is heretical. Mm-hmm. And the idea that we have to somehow reclaim these seven mountains, not just here in the United States, but across the entire world, and then occupy until Jesus returns, or occupy because Jesus won't return until we do it, mm-hmm. is heretical. It is not scriptural. Now, where did this new apostolic reformation come from? There's a name that you need to remember. C. Peter Wagner. He has been extremely influential in promoting this. And by the way, I'm not a scholar on the workings of this new apostolic reformation. I've been reading like crazy the last couple of weeks, especially after hearing Chris Pinto's talk in Nashville about the true faith of our founding fathers, because I realized that the idea that Washington and Jefferson and Adams and all of the men who framed the Constitution were godly men of Christ.
What, faith, hope, and charity?
Yeah, if you watch Glenn Beck, faith, hope, and charity. Well, of course, I think what charity is Ben Franklin. Franklin, of course, the, high-ranking Freemason and member of the Hellfire Club, was not a Christian. And Chris Pinto made that distressingly clear during his presentation. And you want to talk about depressing. It was depressing learning that all of these men who have been held up as heroes to us in America for our entire lives were not the godly Christian men that we are supposed to believe that they are. But this is just one more way that well-meaning Christians are being lured into this this heresy. It appeals to our sense of patriotic pride. It appeals to our vanity. It appeals to our natural Christian desire to be a force for good in the world. But it ain't true. It ain't true. These men, Adams, Washington, Jefferson, they were not to the best information we have, they were not Christian men.
No.
I think
it also appeals, Derek, to everyone's natural desire to be special.
Sure.
Because we are Americans, that makes us special. That's mm-hmm. what we have been fed since we were kids.
Yeah.
You were born in the United States of America. That makes you essentially a chosen one.
Good point. We have a burden.
And it's hard to let that go.
It is. But if we look at Scripture, we don't see in Scripture anything that compels us to put allegiance to our nation ahead of allegiance to God. Yeah, we are told that we are to obey the ruling authorities because they're only in power at God's discretion. God allows them to rule in order to keep order and peace. I know that there are well-meaning Christians out there who would argue the true meaning of Romans 13 and suggest that, it only applies if the ruler is doing what, you know, is following God's rule. But God used pagan kings like the kings of Assyria and Babylon and Egypt to execute judgment on on the ancient Hebrews when they fell away.
Well, and that scripture, that commandment to pray for your leaders, essentially follows, you know, with it because you want to live a peaceful life.
Right, exactly. And even Jesus said, you know, look, here's a coin. Render unto Caesar what's Caesar's, okay? Now, render unto God what's God's. Okay, you've got obligations to your king. You may disagree with the king. You may not like the king, but he is still the king. President. And so, and in America, we hear from mainstream evangelicals that we are to oppose the president and the Democratic Party because they are unbiblical. We've heard prominent evangelical media types say flat out that voting for a third party candidate, forget about voting Democrat, voting for a third party candidate, like a Constitution Party candidate, or is antithetical to biblical truth. What? So this is the lure that is drawing us into this belief that Republican victories at the polls are signs of divine approval on the
nation. And it gets into the idea almost that the Constitution is somehow part of the Bible.
Yes, the Constitution is holy writ, and that it is to be held on a par with. And frankly, I've heard this story a number of times over the years of people getting, and again, well-meaning brothers and sisters in Christ who get really, really upset when that American flag isn't prominently displayed in the church sanctuary right up there. But there above the altar or next to the altar, and you know, like, come on, where?
I'm sorry, I just assume it not be there.
It shouldn't.
And we've talked about this many times. It bothers me that it's up there. I grew up in a church, wonderful church, and I love the preaching there. They were dead on it. But I'll tell you what, it was as a little kid, you saw, okay, Christian flag, American flag, oh, they're equal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Therefore, one equals the other.
It is
the message.
Yeah, it's our social gospel, and it's the lure that's going to draw well-meaning Christians into this heretic cult that wants to take over the world.
Well, I want to go a different direction just for a few minutes because you were talking about this really in many ways being a working that was taking place in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether or not the participants realize this or not, you know, it could be that not one person there realized that's what he or she was participating in.
Right.
It doesn't mean it wasn't a working to the supernatural realm.
Mm-hmm.
Across the other side of the globe, there are stories going on that haven't made it into the mainstream media, just as many things don't seem to be making it into the mainstream media, and that is that in Chinese elementary schools,
mm-hmm.
men have four times now, and I haven't looked at the stories the last couple of days, so I'm praying that four is the limit, but four times now, different men have gone into elementary schools and begun killing the teachers and the kids. The first one was about a month ago. Then for 3 days in a row, the 1 month anniversary pretty much of the first event where a man went into an elementary school and began stabbing teachers and children,
mm-hmm.
Justice is swift in China. And so it was the very day that this first perpetrator was executed. That very day, a so-called copycat crime took place. A man went into an elementary school and with a knife began stabbing the children and the teachers. The very next day, another one. Man went into an elementary school and began stabbing children and teachers. Day three, a man goes into an elementary school with a hammer and begins pummeling children and teachers. The bloodletting that was taking place right up to May 1st.
Walpurgisnacht, Beltane. Yep.
And on May 1st in China, the World's Fair opened up.
Yeah.
With, of all things, in the Spanish exhibit, a giant baby.
That was really
a baby creepy. That was, I don't know what, maybe 5-6 stories tall.
Yeah.
A giant baby that supposedly was near sentient. It was such a marvel of engineering.
Yeah, the picture that was linked at the story was really creepy. 6.5 meters tall is about 20 feet, so that's about 2 stories tall. But yeah, still, that's really tall. Yeah, that's a huge snuggie.
And the very first, you're so funny. The very first thing I thought of was Nephilim.
Huh.
Yeah. Okay, we've got the entire world exhibiting in an area that just not that long ago, a couple of years ago, had the opening and closing ceremonies to their 888 Olympic event that clearly demonstrated order out of chaos.
Yeah.
A phoenix rising, all pointing to the West at the end of it. Because, of course, in 2012, England takes over for the Summer Olympics. So everything was leading up to this, the rising taking place in England in 2012. And England being part of the EU, and the EU, even though it has seemed extreme, I know this sounds like I'm just sort of stringing things together, but I'm not. I'm actually leading towards something. The EU has seemed extremely strong, and in many, I was taught that the EU was probably the 10 nation alliance.
Seven heads, ten horns.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It has 27 nations. Mm-hmm. So clearly, if it's 10 horns, 10 leaders, 10 realms, 10 kingdoms, 27 and 10 are not the same number. The EU appears to be falling apart.
Yeah.
And it's falling apart in a very interesting fashion. Germany seems to be moving toward Russia, which aligns it perfectly for the Gog Magog.
Yeah, if you identify war. the Gog of Magog as being the prince of the king of the of Russia.
There are
the
some who say that Gomer probably refers to Germany.
Right.
Don't know if it does or not, but that's what I was taught. Greece is about to go under if they're not rescued by the IMF, and this is where we get to the economic wing of dominionism. See, right. I brought it back around.
And that's
amazing.
Really interesting that you did that. That of course, business being one of the seven mountains of influence.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, that was something else that the representative of North Carolina prayed for yesterday during her time on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. Not only did she repent of exporting tobacco, she prayed that God would let North Carolina be a leader in the transfer of wealth. In the transfer of wealth needed to finance the dominion of the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that is important to an important part of this dominionist Seven Mountains teaching. According to a fellow named Dr. Orrel Steinkamp, O-R-R-E-L, and I'm going to put a link to his website, which is deceptioninthechurch.com. In the show notes at PIDradio.com, deceptioninthechurch.com, and the Heroscope blog have been doing a remarkable work for a long time in tracking this new apostolic reformation and demonstrating scripturally why it's wrong, why it is a cult, Mm-hmm. I mean, a cult essentially says that Jesus' work was not complete on the cross. We need to do more.
Right.
Okay. If it's any teaching that it's Jesus plus something, that is a cult. And so I feel confident in calling these Dominionists cultists.
Exactly.
Dr. Steinkamp has kind of laid out the power structure of this new apostolic reformation as we know it, or as we can discern it anyway. And I mentioned C. Peter Wagner, who formerly taught at the Fuller Theological Seminary, where he was a doctoral advisor for Rick Warren, by the way. Wagner has almost single-handedly shaped this international apostolic movement. And we keep saying apostolic. What do we mean by that? We mean that these people believe that there is literally a new generation of first century class apostles who have been lifted up, and they are now integrated into what is called the International Coalition of Apostles, the ICA. According to Dr. Steinkamp, there are at least 400 around the world now, people who have been declared apostles, and they can only join this international coalition at the invitation of the presiding apostle, who is C. Peter Wagner. C. Peter Wagner is the guy who went down to Lakeland, Florida, laid hands on Todd Bentley, the tattooed biker boot-wearing old lady in the face kicking, 14-foot angel tall seeing visionary and prophet, in air quotes. And of course, 2 months later, his affair was disclosed, which calls into question the discernment of these apostles if they're calling, you know, this guy an apostle.
Didn't you see that coming?
Exactly, exactly. Anyway. Wagner is the head of this group. There are 400 around the world. The heir apparent is a fellow named Chuck Pierce, who we've talked about before. Several years ago, we talked about the prophecy by Chuck Pierce that the United States was going to split.
Mm-hmm. That Katrina was going to blow into New Orleans and cause the Mississippi to so move backward that it was going to set off the New Madrid Fault.
Right. Well, of course, the fine print on the prophecies from these, you know, new apostles is that they may not occur in the year in which they're actually prophesied. So, you know, if in, say, 2793, the Mississippi River splits, well, then Chuck Pierce will still be right.
It's like those side mirrors. Object may be clearer than they really are.
Exactly. So Chuck Pierce is apparently the heir apparent. He's the vice president of the International Coalition of Apostles. There's a council of accountability. There's something called the Apostolic Council of Prophetic Elders, which is interesting because several of these people were on the planning committee for May Day 2010, including Chuck Pierce, Lou Engel, Cindy Jacobs of Generals International, Steve Schultz, who is the head of the Elijah List, which is that mail group that you can join, mail list that you can join to get prophetic words delivered direct to your inbox.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want the version without ads, it's $4.99 a month.
Mm-hmm.
There's a United States Global Apostolic Prayer Network, a National Government Prayer Alliance, U.S. Prayer Reformation Network, Marketplace Apostles. This is the interesting thing. These apostles are given prominence within the new apostolic reformation because their calling is to transfer wealth from the secular world to the kingdom. They're getting rich for God. They're on a mission from God to make as much money as they can so that they can transfer wealth. C. Peter Wagner has put a 48-member Council of Apostles over this. A fellow in charge of it is named Ed Silvoso. So we've got the Wagner Leadership Institute, which is training organization that offers courses in which you can get credits on how to become an apostle, sharpen your discernment skills and your prophetic abilities for a small fee. And by the way, Todd Bentley is offering a new course in how to be an apostle. That was something only $100. So, you know, maybe we can.
Plus the lab fee. You have to buy your own boots.
Yeah, yeah. Doc Martens are preferred because they've got really, really, you know, really big. So anyway, our whole point is that when you look at these people and see some of the videos they put out on YouTube and you see the videos of guys like Todd Bentley, and we watched one this morning of a woman who was going all snake-eyed and hissing and shaking. It's easy for us to look at this and say, well, clearly we can see that there is something going on here. L.A. Marzulli at the conference in Nashville said this is a Kundalini spirit. It is a it is demonic. There's no other, these people act like they're possessed when they're on stage, shaking, writhing, gibbering, frothing at the mouth.
Why, that's a description of the Baal priests.
The Baal priests?
The confrontation between Elijah and...
Yes, it is. It is also a similar to the actions of the Gadarene demoniac, the man who was on the shore of Lake Sea of Galilee, and was running around the tombs, and they couldn't even chain him down. He was breaking the chains. But these are the people who are teaching this Seven Mountains mandate, this dominionist heresy, and they are somehow rubbing shoulders with mainstream evangelicals like Tony Perkins, Dr. Dobson, Don Wildman, and it is just astonishing to me that mainstream Christians are going along with this, that we're not seeing church bodies as a group standing up and saying, wait a minute, wait a minute. This is heresy. These people are teaching heresy, and you people are standing up with them because it's politically expedient.
But, Derek, in order to know it's heresy, you have to know your Bible.
Yes, that is true. And I'm as guilty as anyone else as not knowing, you know, enough of what's inside the covers of that
Bible. Well, not one person on this earth knows the Bible as well as we need to. I mean, that's just a fact. You could study it every day for your entire life and still not get everything out of it. There's just too much in there. An infinite amount of information is in that that book. But there are many people who claim the name of Christ who... if they read it once a year, you know, it's something. Well, I wish we could go on and on and on talking about this, but there's just too much. We have a few more things we want to take care of before we sign off for today. One of those is that I've gotten a number of emails from people asking about Sue Bradley.
Yes.
We've gotten some phone calls from a lovely lady in, in Tennessee.
Kim in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Exactly.
Kim, thank you for your calls.
Thank you for the calls, and we apologize that we didn't get back to you right away, Kim. Derek is going to call you later because you did leave us your phone number, so we can just talk with you and make sure that you know that we got your messages. Thank you very much. Sue Bradley is going through some really tough stuff, not just physically but spiritually. She is on the front lines trying to expose what's going on behind the scenes. She's trying to pull that curtain away and show you that there is an enemy who's presenting himself as, you know, an angel of light. She is, she's been in and out of the hospital for various procedures. She has probably at least one more, if not more, times that she's going to have to go in relatively soon. She has a condition right now that we just, you know, I don't want to go into specifics because that's for her to reveal. But she does really need your prayers. Just please ask that the Lord will help the physicians who are taking care of her to make the best decisions possible. And that she be as comfortable as possible physically. But most of all, she is despairing, not because she is in physical pain, but because she can't write. That's her big prayer right now, is that the Lord would somehow make it just able so she could write. So pray that she is, you know, if the Lord has more things for her to write about, that he will give her that strength. He will find a way for, show her the way that she can write again. And we just want to thank everybody for your prayers for that. I also promised a number of people in emails who have been praying for me, and I really want to thank everybody for that. And I just want to share with you what's going on. Just rather than, you know, peace out to this person and that person, I thought the easiest way is just to talk about it on PID Radio. Over the last month or two, I've been talking about how it's been very difficult for me to talk for long periods of time. That still is a little bit of a problem. It's getting better, and I think that I really do think it's because of the prayers. I mean, I am starting to feel a little bit better, and I know that those prayers are making the difference. I have mentioned on Facebook, and again, if you want to send me a message on Facebook, that's the fastest way you're going to get a response from me. Derek is better about his email, but I'm afraid that Facebook is where I go first. I have mentioned on there a few times that I'm seeing a neurologist. I have had a number of tests, and as of right now, if you want to pray specifically for me, it does look like I have multiple sclerosis. That is something I'm trying to learn more about. Derek is trying to learn more about it. We're trying to do the very best we can because the Lord brings these physical tests into our lives for his reasons. And it could well be that he's going to reveal that to me. He may never reveal until, you know, the other side of my life when I stand in front of Jesus Christ. At that point, he may say, here's why I gave you MS for this reason. It does have its own challenges. I have good days and bad days, and I would just really appreciate your specific prayers for that. I'm continuing to see the doctor. I've had more MRIs and probably a lumbar puncture coming up, and who knows what else. Yeah, I know that. Well, anyway. You know, I stick me with needles. For some reason, I get stuck with needles all the time, and I must have a high pain tolerance or something, but you know, whatever the Lord brings into my life, that's fine with me. But your specific prayers for that, that's how you can direct those prayers. But getting away from me, and by the way, if you do, if you have insights, if you're suffering from MS yourself or you have someone in your family, I would love to just correspond with you and get your advice and you know, how do you deal with it? And we can also, if we're having bad days, we can kind of share with that with each other. And anyone out there who's a caretaker for someone who has MS, you know, you can talk to Derek and tell him that I'm not going to be especially weird any more so than I am now.
Get as weird as you want, sweetheart.
What's so funny is they found a lesion in my brain that is sort of circular and it's sort of spaceship shaped.
I thought it looked like the sea for the Cubs. No, I'm making that up. I didn't see the.
It might be. No, it's just a round circle. I mean, it's just disc. It looks like about the size of a silver dollar. So anyway, I do think. I know.
Oh boy.
That makes so much sense now. Everything is starting to make sense. But because of that, I do tend to forget things, and sometimes it causes, you know, me to have some trouble with my arm or my leg or things like that. But you want to get away from me. We want to thank some wonderful people who, you know, while Derek was out traveling to Nashville, they sent in some supportive prayers, but they also helped a lot with our bank account. And that really, really helped at a time when, you know, we were stretching a little bit for Derek to take that trip down to Nashville.
That would be Jared in Washington. We truly, truly thank you for all of your support.
We're going to have to adopt Jared. You can move in anytime. We got your room ready, Jared.
Yeah. Ken in BC. Chris from North Carolina, who we met, I met down at the Last Days Conference, who runs the Logos Apologia website.
Yes, I love that website.
Yes,
I've linked to a number of those articles.
Right, at PIDnews.com.
Yeah.
So, you know, thank Chris for the work that he's doing there at LogosApologia.com and check out that site. It is excellent, excellent. And Rick sent by snail mail some support. And as Sharon has pointed out many times, we don't make mention of these gifts in order to solicit more. We just feel that, you know, and we do send notes of thanks privately, but we just want to thank you
publicly
to let you know that we truly appreciate your prayers and your support, and we do not in any way take them for granted.
No, not at all. And as we've said before, you know, if we never got another penny, we know the Lord from any of you, we know the Lord would take care of us in other ways. We're not really worried about that. I mean, the Lord, it's amazing how he's helped provide for all the things we need to do this ministry. Right now we are praying, you know, that he'll show us a way to get a new Mac. But we think that's going to work out. He's actually, I think, revealed some. We got an actual tax refund. So I think we may be able to use that for that. But if you're sitting there and you're thinking, you know what, I think I'm going to donate to them. Well, first of all, ask the Lord, do you really want me to donate to PID Radio? If you have extra money and the Lord is saying, I want you to give this to somebody, you know, honestly, I would say look around. There may be someone locally in your church who really needs it. There may be someone in your family who really needs it. And honestly, if you're really looking for someplace to give it, if you want to give it to us, I can't stop you. But there's a ministry that we support in Thailand that really does need the money. And they're trying their best to raise about 100 kids who were just abandoned by a faker who claimed that he was there representing Jesus Christ. And this family went in and thought they were going over there to help him. And when they got there, they found out the guy was a scam artist.
Yeah.
And they genuinely, for the last 8 or 9 years, have been over there providing for these children. And Thailand is a hotbed of political activity right now. So they're in harm's way every day.
This is a ministry that personal friends of ours from the St. Louis area, which is where Pat and Deb are from, the people who are running the orphanage in Thailand. They've been over to visit Pat and Deb in Thailand, have seen the operation themselves, and have vouched for this ministry and the fact that there's...
And we've had them in our home.
Yes, we've had them in our home. It's extremely low overhead, so your ministry dollars are going to them and the children in their care, not being taken up by a corporate-type CEO who is... and a large administrative staff. I mean, they are the administrative staff. They've got somebody at their home church south of St. Louis who takes care of the bank account in the U.S., and they use PayPal over there so they don't have to worry about transferring funds physically, which might be problematic. So,
They pull kids out of prostitution. I mean, all
off
sorts
the streets,
of off the streets.
Right.
They've run into so many kids that are just sitting in houses. That's it. That's all. Their parents have been dead for years, and the kids are raising themselves.
Yeah. In fact, I am long remiss in not having talked to them on View from the Bunker. I'll see if we can arrange something by Skype to talk to them.
I think
that's
a great idea.
Because what they're doing is where the rubber meets the road in terms of putting what we practice or what we preach as Christians into practice. And we'll put a link to their ministry website and in the show notes at PIDradio.com. View from the Bunker this weekend, we have a slight change in schedule. I'd planned to talk with Tony Kail, K-A-I-L. He's the author of a book about Santa Muerte, which we've talked about on PID Radio. Once or twice in the past. It's a cult that's developed south of the border and is moving up from Mexico into the U.S. But he lives in West Tennessee, and they just got smashed with some heavy weather this weekend. So we're rescheduling that. I'll talk with Jackie Alnor about apostasy in the church, and specifically about the New Apostolic Reformation and the New Mystics, which is
not kind of an offshoot.
No, I'd feel much better if these were coin collectors. but instead, these are people who are preaching direct contact with the spirit realm, which is specifically prohibited, specifically forbidden by God in the Bible. We'll talk with her tomorrow. So View from the Bunker for this week will go up tomorrow instead of tonight. And Sam T. Dachson is beginning to get restless in his bed, which means we must have hit the 60-minute mark.
We did. I'm looking at the clock right now. 60 on the nose.
Hey, that's that German engineering. Always precise and on the money. Well, until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Gonna step up to the microphone, say it loud and clear. A better day is coming soon. Get us out of here. Don't let the hard times get you down. Older days will disappear. There's a new day coming. A new former days and living in the past. God can do a new thing now in a kingdom that will last. He'll make a way across your wilderness like a river. A new day coming.
cutting-edge news and analysis on demand.
This is PID Radio.